No friend like Jesus. Amen. No friend like Jesus. You have your Bible open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm just rejoicing, and I'm so thankful that I know the reality of that song. God has never let me go. Never. He's always there. I mean this from the very depths of my soul. I trust you know something about that. I trust you know what it is. That God has you and that he will never let you go. If you're saved now, if you're saved, God has you and he will never let you go. Never. And you say, well, I'll let him go. Well, I just have some good news for you. His hand is bigger than yours. And he will never let you go. All right? And don't you ever forget that. Don't you let the enemy ever, ever, ever deceive you into thinking that somehow you can become detached from the God of your salvation. We've been looking in 1 Thessalonians through the book, and I'm eager to get back into it. I've really enjoyed studying the book together. It's been a blessing to me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Each time I preach through a book again, I learn things, and God reveals some things. Sometimes God just reminds me of some things, and I need that too. It's not that I learn something new always. It's just God reminds me of something that I have forgotten or that I have maybe moved away from. And I'm grateful that God reminds me of things that I need to get back to. We have been in this section talking about the shepherd's responsibility to the sheep and the sheep's responsibility to the shepherd. And now we've moved from the sheep to the sheep to the sheep to the chief shepherd. And in this section, in verses 12 down through verse number 22, I believe that we have all of that. I believe we have, well, you know, as the good shepherd, we have, or the shepherd has responsibility to the sheep. And that needs to be understood. As pastors, we need to understand we have responsibility to you. You need to understand that you can expect us to do certain things as pastors, as leaders. And then as the sheep, you have responsibilities to the shepherd. You need to understand that. You say, well, my responsibility is to God. Your responsibility is to the God-ordained authority in your life. And that is for all of us. And so we have responsibilities. Shepherd to sheep to shepherd, and then sheep to sheep. And we talked about that, and I believe in verse 14 and 15, it's talking about as sheep, we're to, well, we'll hold each other accountable, and we're to lovingly help one another in times of weakness. We're to warn, sometimes we warn the unruly. Now, the leadership does that, but you know, there'd be nothing wrong with you going to a good brother in Christ and pulling him to the side and saying, now, brother, I've noticed that you're kind of walking out of line, and I love you, and I want to help you. Amen? Not a thing wrong with that. And right on down the line, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And then in verse number 16 down through verse number 22, we move to this section about, well, our responsibility to the chief shepherd. Now, I have a couple of questions before I get into what I would call the meat of the message this morning. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, verse 17. In everything give thanks, verse 19. Quench not the spirit, 20. Despise not prophesying, 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, how many of you, as you read that, said, you know what? I believe that God wants me and is commanding me to do all of those things. Raise your hand. So God's commanding me to do all of that. God wants me to pray without ceasing. God wants me to despise not prophesying. God wants me to abstain from all appearances of evil. And I think that if we were to start at verse number 17 and go down to verse 22, most people would raise their hand. But for some reason, we have tried to excuse ourselves and think, well, maybe God will rescind this commandment of rejoice evermore because of the hard times we live in, you know, or the situations that I'm in my life. Surely God doesn't expect me to rejoice evermore. I mean, I have problems. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. So what am I going to do? Well, remember what we talked about. Number one, this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. Rejoice evermore. Always be rejoicing. Now, if you're saved, you have a source, the source of joy living in you. And that source is going to be produced by the Holy Spirit. He is the source. And the Holy Spirit is going to produce joy. That's part of the fruit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life. Now, there's other fruit of the Spirit. And so we see this is a commandment. Don't forget that, okay? This is a commandment. And you have to approach it as God has given it. This is a commandment. Rejoice evermore. And then you have to be reasonable and say, this is difficult. Right? I'm being instructed to do something hard here. Actually, verse 16 through verse number 22, all of it's hard. Right? I'm going to need some help. And so I'm being instructed, I'm being commanded to do something. But I'm being instructed that what I'm being commanded to do, this is the second thing we talked about, is difficult. I'm going to need some help. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that help is within us. I'm glad that the Spirit of God is our helper. Amen. And so we have to understand. Now, then, the third thing we talked about is, well, now, if I'm being commanded to do it, but the Spirit of God is who's going to produce it, how does that involve me? Remember we talked about the man by the pool, and Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? See, your will's got to get involved. You would think, that's crazy. Man being laying for 38 years and asking him, does he want to be made whole? Well, sure he wants to be made whole. Well, it's just as unreasonable to think that, why would I not want to be joyful? Who doesn't want to be joyful? Well, you'd be surprised. And so our will has to get involved. God's not going to go around your will to accomplish his commandment to you. You have to line up with his will. We have to reconcile our will to God's will in order for God's commandments to be obeyed by me, by you. And so now I have to ask you the question, and listen, you say, well, now Pastor, don't ask me that question again, but I'm going to. Do you want to rejoice evermore? You say, well, sure I do. You sure? You sure? God's commanded it. He said, I'll help you do it. If you're not rejoicing evermore, where's the hiccup? It's in our will. You say, but I do want to rejoice. Are you willing to put in the work? See, we want it easy, don't we? I mean, we just live in a laid-back, you know, a society where we want everything to be done for us. God, make me happy. You know, God, keep me rejoicing. God, make me holy. And God, listen, God will sanctify you, but that's positional. But God will also sanctify us through practical sanctification. There's just some things I've got to do. You, look at verse 22, you abstain from all appearances of evil. Amen. There's just some things you've got to do if you want to be holy. And there's just some things we must do if we're going to be joyful forevermore. And so now we come to, well, why? 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 Why or how? How am I going to keep rejoicing? I'm going to list some things, okay? I listed three things and we went in detail. I will not go in detail in these other things because I want to give you some hindrances today. That'll be my last point in this verse of Scripture before we move on to the next. What are some hindrances to our lives that would keep us from rejoicing always or forevermore? If we're not rejoicing evermore and we've been commanded to do it, I want to tell you now, I want to remind us, God's commandments come with God's enablements. And if we're not rejoicing, you say, well, I'm not rejoicing evermore. Well, I hope I do. I have prayed, God, please help me to rejoice evermore. And help me to teach the people of Fellowship Baptist Church. Brethren, this is not only possible, this should be desirable for all of us. Can I tell you, Jesus wants you to be rejoicing? You say, I don't know, preacher, does he? Well, let's see. Over and over and over and over and over again, when Jesus was upon this earth, he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Let not your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, Jesus wants us to rejoice. All of heaven rejoiced when we got saved. And Jesus wants us rejoicing. He wants us to be a people of rejoicing. And so when we come to this thing of, well, why should I be rejoicing? We talked about, first of all, the character of God. Remember that? They sang about it this morning. God's so good. Amen. The character of God should keep me rejoicing while the ages roll. God's just good. God's good to you. God's faithful. We could just keep listing the attributes and the characteristics of God. The character of God should keep us rejoicing. In spite of my circumstances, God's character doesn't change. My circumstances, my situations do change. God is immutable. He does not change. Amen. And I should always rejoice in the Lord. Listen, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8, he said that the joy, listen carefully now, of the Lord is your strength. It's not your joy. It's not your peace. It's God's peace in your heart. It's God's joy in the person of the Holy Spirit that he will evidence in my life, in your life. He produces that joy in our lives. Oh, listen, I pray that the people of Fellowship Baptist Church, people say, I don't know what's going on down there. The folks of the community say, I don't know what's going on down there at that church down at the end of that road. But man, there's some happy people. Those people are rejoicing. Well, we're saved, amen. We're going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. The God of heaven, I have a relationship with him. I realize the goodness of God in my life. And as I realize that, God helps me to rejoice. The second thing that we should be rejoicing about, God sent his son. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, John 3:16, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God, I know something about that. I'm one of them. I'm saved, amen. I have received Jesus as my Savior. My sin is forgiven. I have a place prepared for me in heaven. I'm going to heaven one day, brethren. Going to heaven. We ought to be rejoicing about that. The finished work of Jesus ought to keep us rejoicing. The perfect atonement. Think about it. The perfect atonement has been supplied. All the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ, and Christ is in me. I'm complete in him. Praise God. Amen. The Holy Spirit abides in me. He indwells me. That's why I'm rejoicing. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed me until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God has he's the earnest. I've received that as a down payment, if you will, that I'm just as good as in heaven. I have him. He's my comforter. He's my teacher. He's my partner in the ministry, you know. And then I listed some others. I hope you'll write them down. This is where we left off last week. Appreciation, and I'm just going to have to list these and move on. Literally, for the preachers, and I hope you'll study this. You could preach every one of these. A whole message. Appreciation for spiritual blessings. We've been blessed, Ephesians 1:3, with all spiritual blessings. Amen. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has done that for us. That's enough to cause us to be joyful and praising God forever. Rejoice forevermore. The next thing, appreciation for divine providence. It's amazing to me how God, the God of heaven, orchestrates all things. Did you get it? Not just all things in my life. That's not the way Romans 8:28 reads. All things work together. God is orchestrating all the things that are going on. For we who love him, he's orchestrating. He's working all these things together for good. For good. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, for our good and God's glory. Well, I want to help you out a little bit. That's true. But it's for our good now, and it's for our glory later. Because our good now is going to translate in reward and position in our glory later. Amen. So God does it for us. That's how good God is. Amen. I hope you understand that. You get a hold of that, I'm telling you, you'll rejoice. Amen. The providence of God. The appreciation for answered prayer. God's listening. Amen. Hitherto, John 16:24, have you asked nothing in my name, Jesus said. Ask, and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Isn't that something? Aren't you glad for answered prayer? I think that Sister Barbara said something about that when we were just praising my Savior all the day long, talking about giving God the glory. Appreciation for the Word of God. Aren't you glad you have the Word of God? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Listen, not everyone has this privilege that we have. Not everyone has a copy of the Word of God that they can open up and say, I have the Word of God in my native tongue. Right here it is, brethren. This is the Word of God. This is not the Word of a man. This is the Word of God. Amen. The law of the Lord. Listen now. This is why you ought to appreciate the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Listen carefully now. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Amen. Aren't you glad? Enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Isn't this a wonderful book? Amen. I praise God for the Bible. This book has changed my life, and it continues to change my life. I came to church today for correction. I need correction. I need instruction. And I'm glad the book gives it. Amen. I'm thankful for the Bible. You ought to praise God. I've seen folks, listen, in foreign soils, I've seen them take this book and just pull it real close to their chest and say, oh, I love this book. This book changed my life. This book rescued my family. This book has done so much for me. The Bible, brethren, the Bible. We ought to be thankful for the Word of God. Don't take the Bible for granted. Praise God for the Bible. And so, all of these things, and what more can I say? There's so much more to praise God. Look, if you would, just, you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go back to chapter 3, and I have others, but because of the points I want to make before I close, I'm going to move on from this. You ought to sit down at your desk, your bedside, your favorite place when you open up the Bible, maybe with a cup of coffee, and get you a book or a journal out, and begin just to write down things that you're thankful to God for. God, I rejoice because, and just write it down. I can rejoice in the Lord always, and here's why. And just begin to write it down. Just begin to write it down. First Thessalonians chapter 3, look in verse number 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. You know what Paul's saying? He said, oh, I love the brethren. He says, you know, there's just nothing like God's people. Now, Paul wasn't with them very long. We've looked at that in the very beginning of this. He wasn't there very long. But there's just a bond among God's people, aren't they? I mean, there's just a bond. I thank God that some of the greatest people that I know, some of the greatest influence in my life have come from God's people. Amen. Some of the best friends I have are in this sanctuary right here. I thank God for God's people. I thank God for you, every one of you. I was with Sharon and I was with a family, I think it was, I lose track of time, Friday evening, and I told that family, you know, I love everybody at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I'm glad what the brother said. He said, I believe you, Pastor. Amen. I'm glad. I love everybody here. Listen, I do. I love you. I thank God for you. We ought to thank God for good Christian fellowship. You say, well, sometimes I disagree with you, Pastor. That's okay. That's not the only time you're wrong. You're wrong at other times, too. Hey, we're all going to disagree on some things. We're not going to all see things eye to eye. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. We're family. Aren't you glad for the brethren? You say, what do I have to rejoice about? You've got a good spiritual family. You thank God for the brethren. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me give you one more before I get to my the crux, as I like to call it, the meat of the message. Turn to 2 Timothy. Notice what Paul said here to young Timothy. I like this. You know, the fellowship of the saints, we could just keep going on and on. Brethren, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we have so much to be rejoicing about. How could we not? Except we have made a choice. I'm not willing to rejoice. I'm not willing to put in the work. I'm not willing to position myself where I can rejoice forevermore. Now, it's deeper than what I'm making it. You see, some people look at rejoicing as just an emotion. They say, well, you know what? I'll just take sorrow, and that's an emotion, and I'll just fix a rejoicing over it. No, a rejoicing doesn't go over something. Rejoicing's down here springing up, brother. Are you listening? Rejoicing's not up here coming down on sorrow, coming down on trouble, trying to cover up hard times. No, you've got it in the wrong place. Rejoicing's right in here. Right in here. And it just springs up. Even in sorrow, even when your heart's heavy and you're burdened down, you just know that God is in control of everything in your life. I tell you right now, brother, it gets foggy when you get in that territory. Amen. That's real. You say, well, I haven't experienced it. Oh, you ought to. You ought to. When you know that you know that the God of heaven lives in you and He is the source of all joy, and that joy is down here in the bosom of your soul, and when things from the outside start coming in, and they do, and they will continue to, underlying under all of that, the events, the circumstances, the situations, the sorrow, the heartache, the tribulation, there is a source of joy that'll just spring up and let you know, I know you're sorrowful now, but I want to give you something to be joyful. Hey, amen. Sorrow and weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Sorrow and pain may endure for a time, but there's a better day coming if you're saved in the grace of God. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writing to young Timothy, his protege, he said this in verse number 4, 2 Timothy 1, 4. He said, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Amen. There's just something about the brethren. There's just something about being with God's people. Amen. I love the brethren. I love you. You say, well, I don't think too highly of you. That's okay. See, your feelings for me, I don't want that to control how I feel about you. See, that's where the source comes in. When the source is inside, then nothing is going to touch that source. And that source is always going to be there. But when I start acting in the energy of my thoughts, my understanding, my flesh, well, then, see, I get a little off course. And you do too. And then I begin to respond in my way instead of letting the Spirit of God produce His fruit in every given situation. That's why the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Well, I have some more, but I hope that you'll just take some of these. I do. And you'll just start building on this and say, God, I want to find a reason to give you praise every day. They're out there. I want you to turn, before I get into this, in Habakkuk. Habakkuk, would you turn there? You say, Habakkuk? Yeah. Yeah, they were rejoicing in the Old Testament too. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen? Habakkuk chapter 3. I'll give you a little time to find that. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. There he is, Habakkuk. Before I move on, I want to say something. I hope you'll get this. I do. I can't always control what happens to me. Now, I've lived long enough, and I've been serving God long enough to know this. Some things I just bring on myself. Just dumb decisions. Just didn't think it through. And I bring some things on me. I can blame it on the devil, and I'll blame all I can on him. He's sorry. But some of it's just me. It's just poor decision making. It's just erroneous thinking. And so, bad things happen, and I've got a decision to make. How am I going to approach when things don't go the way I'd like to see them go? You do too. Now, I want to read this verse of Scripture to you to show you from the Bible now. Rejoicing is a choice. It's a choice. It involves your will. Now, it's not something you muster up. It's something you yield to the producer of that joy, the source of that joy, which is the Holy Spirit, and say, God, help me. Help me rejoice. I have so much to rejoice about. Help me not to allow this situation. Yes, I'm sorrowful. And listen, sorrowful, it's okay. Even in 1 Thessalonians, he said, though you sorrow not as others which have no hope. There's the source of joy. Yes, we sorrow. Yes, we have hardship. Yes, we have hard time. But that's not where it ends. We have a source that we can draw from that's going to help us rejoice even in the midst of sorrow. I hope you understand that. Hard times. That's right. Sometimes that's the only thing that keeps me afloat, brethren. I'm just being transparent with you. I get so burdened, so heavy. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that source. That source that just springs up, that well. It's like an artesian well, just springs up that joy that floods my soul. It's real. He's real. And I hope you understand something about this. This is the Christian experience. It's the Christian experience. It's not just for a few. It's for all we who are saved. If you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you, and He wants to teach you to rejoice forevermore. You say, well, then that means I won't have any more problems. No, that means you can rejoice even in the midst of your problems. Right? Amen. Notice what Habakkuk said. We're in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 17. Habakkuk, what a wonderful book. We've gone through this book together, and I just, every time I read through it, I study through it, I learn just something that helps me. And I'm not going to go in detail because of time. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, wait a minute. Look right up here at the pasture. That is a mouthful. That sounds like some days I have. Amen. How many of you can relate to that? That sounds like some days I have. What he's saying is if it could go wrong, it did. That's what he's saying. Although that all of this has happened. I mean, it is a mouthful. Read it. The situation looks bleak. And that is the biggest understatement you'll hear today. He said, I'm going to make a choice. My circumstances don't look well. The situation is not favorable. Yet, verse 18, look at it. I will rejoice, not in my situation. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, because God is my helper. And when Paul wrote in Philippians, rejoice always, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And it's almost, before he said, and again I say rejoice, it's almost like Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And he knew that his readers were going to say, what? You do know what we're going through here in Philippi, don't you? He said, and again I say, zip it, rejoice. Amen? I meant what I said. Rejoice. Rejoice. Here's Habakkuk doing the same thing. I can't rejoice in my circumstances. I can't rejoice in my situation. I can't rejoice. I'm not in control of a lot of things that are going on in my life, but I am in control in how I respond to them. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand this, but I do understand some things about you. Now, I didn't say I understood all about God, but I understand enough to know God is going to take real good care of me. God has done nothing but take good care of me. How about you? How about it, church? Has God been good to you? Has God taken care of you? Has God come through? We heard it. He comes through over and over again. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are in life. You might be sitting there thinking, man, well, what is this? What is he talking about? If he only knew what I was going through. I don't. I have no way of knowing. And sometimes it would probably help me to know. I'd love to pray with you and pray for you. But I can tell you this. I really don't need to know in order to say this with the spirit authority that I'm going to make this statement to you. God says you can rejoice. You can rejoice. That if you're his child, he knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And God wants to navigate you through this time to get you to a place in your life that is meaningful and purposeful. Can I tell you, as you read verse number 17 with me again, and the fig tree is not going to blossom, whether you rejoice or not. You following me, church? There shall not be fruit in the vine, whether you rejoice or not. You see? The labor of the olive shall fail, whether you rejoice or not. You following me? You see what Habakkuk's saying? Can you apply this to your life? I hope that you can. We could go right on down, and there's just things that's going to happen in our lives, whether we choose to allow the Spirit of God to unleash that source of joy. That's going to help us to navigate through our tough times. It's going to give us strength, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We'll not faint if we allow the joy to strengthen us through the difficult times in life. So when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, rejoice forevermore, he wasn't saying that flippantly or without being mindful. I mean, we're talking about a man who wrote some of the most positive statements that's ever been known to be written to man from a dungeon, from a prison, in stocks, in bonds. And yet he said, you know, I rejoice in the Lord greatly in Philippians 4. He said, I know what it is to be abased. I know what it is to abound. I know what it is to be full. I know what it is to be hungry. Paul said, I understand these things. But I have learned. Now listen to this. I have learned. Are you listening? Learned. You've got to learn. I've got to learn. We must learn that no matter what state we're in, I'm going to be content that God is my helper. And he is in control of my life. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. My relationship with him is eternal. Amen. I hope I whet your appetite for that point I never got to. Hindrances. Let's not get into hindrances this morning. Let's stew on that a little bit. What it is to rejoice. We have so much to rejoice about. You know what? I remember an occasion where the disciples went out and Jesus had given them authority and over devils. He sent them out two by two to preach, and they come back and they said, basically, and I'm going to paraphrase, they said, "Wow! Woo! Man, even the devils are subject unto us in your name." And I mean, it's almost like you could just see our Lord say, now fellas, calm down. I'm glad you're rejoicing. But can I tell you, you've got a lot more to rejoice about than that. Your names. Now get a hold of this. Brother Gene was talking about this morning. I thought about this, Brother Gene. He's talking about those people in the Bible. We can't even pronounce their name. We try, don't we, Pastor David? We try. We give it a, everybody in here that teaches and preaches, you try to name those names. We try. And he said, could you imagine having your name in the Bible? You say, well, somebody got offended because I used their name wrong. I don't think those fellas and gals in the Bible, I don't think they're going to get too angry at us and offended if we don't say their name right. They're just glad they're in the Word. They're glad they made it. And so when we get to heaven, they're not going to track us down and say, now let me give you the proper pronunciation. And all that stuff's going to be out the window. Can you imagine with me for a moment what it is to have your name not written in the Bible, in the book of life? He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Listen, you could put my name, they could, not going to, but they could carve it out in some pillar on the White House. That would mean this much to me compared to my name is written in heaven. He said, now you want something to rejoice about? There's you something to rejoice about. Amen, church? Amen. Can I tell you, your name's written in heaven if you're saved? Amen. Because that's going to be your eternal home. You're going to heaven. We have a lot to praise God for. Now we'll talk about some hindrances next week, because there are some hindrances. And I'm going to give you the first one as you stand to your feet, because I want to use it as a way of an invitation this morning. I didn't plan on it, but God wants me to. You say, Pastor, I just don't have any joy. Like, I never have joy. Now, I don't want anybody here to leave here saying, you know, the pastor's trying to get me to doubt my salvation. Actually, what the pastor wants to do is to help you know for sure that you're saved. I want to help you get assurance of your salvation. One of the reasons that people have no joy, they do not have the source. And so you'll never be able to manufacture the kind of joy that the Bible's speaking of, because it's of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. And so I would say the first thing that all of us need to do a little self-check and ask yourself a real straightforward, honest question, and then give yourself the answer. Am I saved? Have I ever come to God sorry for my sin, realizing that Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again? And have I ever come with a sorrowful, repentant heart saying, God, I've sinned against you. Save me. And as a result of that prayer, now listen to me, by faith, you listening? Folks, I believe that Jesus died. I believe that Jesus was buried. I believe that he rose again. Have you ever accepted it by faith that he did it for you? Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not enough just to believe it up here. You have to exercise God-given faith. Say, God, I believe you did it for me. And now he has transferred his righteousness on you as you put your sin on him. Have you ever cried out to God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? You see, the reason a lot of folks are never joyful, they see others rejoicing and they think, oh, you know, I don't understand it. They hear people talking about it. They see Christians serving God, and they wonder, why don't I want to serve God? They just see all of these things, and they just wonder, why is this not happening to me? Why do I not have it? I'm just asking you to ask yourself, could it be that the source is not there? You say, well, I have you to know, I'm a member of 5 different churches. That's not going to bring you any source of joy. Actually, it might diminish it some. Depends on what church you're a member of. Well, I have you to know, I've been baptized. I've baptized forward and backward. That's not going to bring you any joy if that's all you got. I own a King James Bible. That's not, listen, if that's all you've got, that's, you know what I'm saying. Are you saved? Can you tell me about it? Do you have a desire to tell others about it? I don't know anybody that got saved didn't want to tell somebody about it. Now, they might have been a little reluctant, might have been shy, might not have done it like other people done it, but they just want to see other people get saved. When you get saved, it's natural. You want to see other people get saved. Has there been a change in your life? Let's bow our heads together. I don't want anyone, when I say anyone, I mean this with all of my heart. God knows my heart. I do not want anyone to think the pastor is trying to get me to doubt my salvation. No, I'm trying to get you to make sure and to know for sure. While the pianist plays, would you search your heart right now? And would you say, first of all, God, thank you for that witness on the inside. Oh, that source of joy is my witness. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit. And I know that I know I'm saved by grace.